And it's good again to see each of you tonight. We're thankful for the chance to gather back together. Here's what we'll do. I'll preach here for just a little while, and then, of course, we'll have the Sunday school teachers meeting, teachers and workers, all that back in the home builder's classroom. But I try not to preach too long, and so I'm challenging you to stay around, fellowship with somebody, just somebody you maybe haven't talked to for a little while. Church ought to be a great, great time where you just come together and fellowship, not be in a rush, not be in a hurry to get out. And I understand if you got to get up at 3 a.m, then I'm surprised you're still here. But for the most of us, you don't have to get up that early, and maybe you just do, and you're just being a bigger person. Well, pray, bless your heart. Thank you for doing that. But for the rest of us, then may you stay around just a little while in fellowship and not be in such a rush. Sometimes, you know, this is true, church or anything else for that matter, but it's what we make it out to be. Somebody say, oh, that day it was kind of a blah, bland day. Many times just because we didn't let the Lord do something in our heart. And, you know, I've heard many times, I've gone to churches all my life, and you hear somebody come out and say, man, wasn't that good? And then somebody else says, they got to make a beeline to the car. They didn't get anything out of it. Could it be that one just let the Lord speak their heart, and the other was just so preoccupied with something? So just kick back. I won't be long. Kick your shoes off at your discretion. I mean, if that's going to get anybody uncomfortable, then don't do that. But just relax, settle in, get into Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to preach about a message entitled Rest is Coming. And it seemed like the Lord put this on my heart for tonight. And we're looking forward to getting some work done this coming up in 2 weeks with our Sunday school classes. And Daniel will give you some specifics about what needs to be done tonight after the service. And then bus workers on Wednesday night. Brother Daniel's going to be leading that. And so I want you to be looking forward to getting some information of how we can get back into reaching people because it's so desperately needed. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says this, there remaineth yet, let's look verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And that's specifically talking back when Joshua had been bringing the people in. Verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. If you look at verse number 1 of that passage, we'll read just a little bit to give you some context. We are challenged to enter into God's rest. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Now, if we were a class, I would say, class, who did the word not profit? Well, the people that the word did not profit were the ones that, it says in the end of the verse, it was those that the faith didn't get mixed in there. So, it says that the world, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So maybe you were in church sometime and you heard the gospel and somebody else heard the gospel and the whole auditorium or whole sanctuary heard the gospel, but you bailed out and went forward and got saved, or you got saved in your seat or whatever, but somebody else heard the word, but they passed. So I don't get into all that stuff. Well, the word in that regard, in this verse, did not profit them because it was not united with, it was not brought together with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. I'll stop reading there and get into the message. And I want to preach for just a little while about called a sermon, Rest is Coming. Some say that verse 10, there where it says that for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Some say that's speaking of believers when they go to heaven and they're entered into the rest and all their labor is done. Others say that it's Jesus as he ended his work and sat down on the right hand of the Father. And you understand that there's this thing of rest given in the Bible, and this thing of rest is talking about you and talking about me. And so as we look into it tonight, I trust that God would move upon your heart, because our church has got, we're standing on the edge of doing something right now in 2021, and I believe it's time for us to mobilize. It's time for us to go and see what God has for us. My friend, most of the people in our Christian world are not wanting to do much for the Lord. There's business people that want to do things for their business. There are folks that want to do something for their household. They're selling, they're buying, they're remodeling, they're adding on, they're whatever. There's people that want to do that. There are people that want to do something in their school. They want to revamp things and they want to go forward. Usually it's amazing how the things that we want to do most of all bring some financial gain or some benefit in one form or another to us. But the kind of work that I'm talking about tonight that many folks don't want to do is that work that brings us no financial gain, brings us no notoriety. But I'm telling you this evening that there's a need there for the work of the Lord. And I see that many people in our Christian world today, we want to rest. Sometimes we jokingly say, well, just take it easy. Why don't you just take a little breather, take it easy, take a rest. Seems as though we often don't want to work. We want to rest in heaven, yes, but we like to rest a little bit now too. And now please don't misunderstand. Everybody gets tired. All of us need to rest. But I can see that you, I hope you can see with me rather, that most of the Christian world is not in danger of burning out for the Lord. Used to be that people would talk about burnout. What if they just did so much for the Lord, they burn out? I'd say I see Christians more in danger of rusting out than I do burning out. And that's not in reference to anybody here. I'm just talking about in general, all around. We don't want to work too much, like these two lazy rednecks was sitting on their bank there. One leaned against this tree, and the other one, one of them looked over, and he said, hey, there's a snake going to bite you on the leg. And he looked over. He didn't hardly want to move. He didn't want to make any more effort than he had to. He said, hey, there's a snake going to bite you on the leg. And he didn't want to move any more than he had to. And he said, which leg, Bubba? He didn't want to move both of them just in case. He wanted to make sure he did as little work as he could. Now, friend, we don't often want to work. But I believe it is time for us as Christians to roll up our sleeves and work. And I want to talk about the rest, though, that's given in Christ, but then we get it confused. And I think the Lord will make it clear for us tonight. Number one, look in verse number 2 and 3, if you will, and I give you this point. We enter into the rest of salvation. Look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, which we read a little bit ago, not being mixed with faith. But verse 3 says, for we which have believed, so that's specifically calling out those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and be saved. And so when we see that in verse number 3, for we he which hath believed, we do enter into the rest. So this is specifically talking to those people who are saved, born again, regenerated, redeemed. They're saved by the blood of the Lamb. These people that have believed, we which have believed, do enter into rest. These, we see, enter into the rest of salvation. You understand that there's many people in the world, in the Christian world, so to speak, that are hoping and thinking and possibly, and I'm working on it, hoping they'll get to heaven. I talk to people all the time that they say they're faithful members of some church, and they say when you get down to the point of, well, about their salvation, are you on your way to heaven? Well, I sure hope so. I'm working on it. Listen, folks, we need to have it sure, no-so salvation, because the Bible talks about here that we which have believed, we enter into rest. The old preacher said, I'm so safe, I'm so secure, Jesus saved me so much. He said, I can swing out over hell on a rotten grapevine, singing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and swing back into safety. My friend, I'm telling you tonight that there is a safety, there's a rest, there's assurance. And if Jesus Christ is the one that did the saving, then bear with me here. If he's the one that did the saving, he's also the one that provided salvation. And if it's his salvation to begin with, then I don't work to keep it. I'm not trying to be unkind. Many, many folks that I knew growing up, they would not believe the same as our church doctrinal statement is about the eternal salvation or the eternal aspect of salvation. But logic it through with me, friend. If God wrought the salvation to begin with, God did the saving in your life, then why would all of a sudden it change from God's work to God's work? Now all of a sudden, in order to possess it or keep it rather, it's your work. It's His to begin with. It's His when He gives it to you. And it's His all the way through. You just latched onto a good thing. And so I see this evening that we enter into the rest of salvation. Let me illustrate it this way. You know how, you know what is what typifies a happy, safe, secure marriage? When neither one is worried about the other cheating or leaving or being inappropriate. It gives that peace of mind. Now, we can overindulge that, of course, and we cannot take that we cannot be as friendly or kind or loving or whatever to our sweetheart in that way. But as far as being happy in that, when you have assurance that he or she is not doing anything out of the biblical realm of what a married person should do, that gives rest. A story is told, true story, of somebody who had met their current spouse on a business trip. The only problem was they were married at that time. And then that person divorced their spouse and married the one that they met on a trip. And then forevermore, when that man still traveled for business, then that lady, the new Mrs. So-and-so, was always worried when he would go on a trip because that's where he found her. You see, my friend, I'm saying, trying to tell you tonight, when you've got assurance that that person is true and you've got assurance that that person is honest and you've got assurance that that person is committed, then it gives rest. And the Bible says in verse number 3, as we already looked at it, for we which have believed, those of us who are saved, those of us who bought that Jesus Christ has bought with His own blood, those who have been born again, regenerated, redeemed, those of us which have believed do enter into rest. My friend, the salvation that you possess, if God has saved you, you don't work for it, you don't worry about it, and God's not going to weigh it all out at the end to see whether your good outweighs your bad. It's eternal salvation, not because you're so good. You say, well, preacher, you're pretty braggadocious about being able to keep it all the way to the end. But my friend, I'm not braggadocious unless I'm bragging on God, because I'm not the one keeping it. He is. So I see, first of all, there we enter into the rest of salvation. But I want you to look down at verse number 6 and 7 and 8. We see here that unbelief, though, robs people of rest. Verse number 6 says this, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, these are those people back up in verse number 3, or verse number 2, the word was preached unto them, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Verse number 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why does somebody die and go to a devil's hell? You say, that's easy. Sin. Well, I agree. But let me just challenge your thinking here. Haven't you done a lot of sin? The chairman of the deacons has done a lot of sin? Yes, all of us have in this room. But he's saved on his way to heaven. But you said sin's what takes us to hell. But there's one, and the pastor standing in front of you is another. That I know my background, and you know your background. Thank God, God forgives our sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west. But we said sin is what sends a person to hell. And that's true unless something else enters into the equation. And that something else is not really a something else. That something else is a someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. And so we see in verse number 6, though, that that it was first preached and it entered not in because of their unbelief. And so I told you, first of all, that there's a rest in salvation. When you get in, you are in like Flynn, and you are saved, and you are there lapped up in the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, you in the Savior's hand and the hand of the Son of God in the hand of God the Father. You are taken care of by His goodness. If you or anybody is counting on your ability, then I would tell you, be afraid, be very afraid. But we're not counting on our ability. So the rest of salvation is given to those people who believe. But disbelief, unbelief, the people that don't believe, they are robbed of that rest. You've heard that saying, it's too good to be true. That's what a lot of people think about salvation. I just can't believe that. That just doesn't seem like it could be so. And they think that about Christ, and they won't believe it. So I say, first of all, salvation brings rest. And then unbelief, though, in those people who don't get saved, that robs them of that rest. And I want to preach for this next little bit on this third one. And I wanted to wait for the message to get to here. I want you to look at verse number 9 again. And I give you my last point, and that's this. There is coming a rest in heaven. Verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This whole passage here, even from over in chapter 3, over through there, up all the way through 4, that's talking about that rest that's given in the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, as he brought those people into the promised land, they didn't get the rest that God had designed for them and desired for them because of their unbelief. And there's many a Christian even that does not have the rest that God wants them to have because of their hardness or their difficulty in believing that God's going to take care of them through whatever. But I tell you, my friend, as verse number 9 says, there does remain a rest for the people of God. I was listening to that old song this week, getting prepared for this, and as God was trying to move and position me to preach this evening, and that old song that says, "We're not home yet, children." And I'm afraid that we've got a whole world full of Christians that are trying to get so comfortable in this world, forgetting that this world is the one that crucified our Savior. Is it any hard thing to believe if they did that to the lovely Lamb of God that they might not make our travels through this world cushy and easy? I see this evening that there's coming a rest. And as I talk to Christians, it seems like, as I talk to them, it seems like we don't want to work in this present age. And again, I'm not speaking about the people of Buffalo Ridge, although it can fit into all of us. But it seems, as I talk to Christians, that we don't like the idea of bus routes because that's a lot of work. We don't like the idea of taking the gospel to people who don't know already. We're very good at sharing about our church if somebody else... fellowship one another, and that's wonderful. But I find that people have a difficult time when we try to take the gospel to those people who are hostile to it. And it seems that Christians don't like the idea of bus routes and don't like the idea of taking the gospel in a soul-winning situation and getting it to people that don't want to hear it. It seems like it's unheard of to hear people that would surrender to their lives to the mission field to say, "I'll give up everything that the world has. I'll give up all that America has, and I'll go to the mission field." It seems like those things don't interest us anymore, maybe because it just seems like so much work. My friend, we need a whole army of people, and I believe we have a lot of them, but I believe we need more. We need an army of folks that would take some gospel tracts, they would take their Bible, they would take a New Testament, they would take a heart that's full of God and take it out to this world and just share Him everywhere they go. We need folks on these buses as Daniel tries to get things restarted again. We need folks that will come out of retirement and say, "We're going to go out. We know what we're supposed to do. We just need to do it." We need those that would take their Sunday school class once again and say, "Well, we're going to build it up for the glory of God." We need pastors like myself that would say, "We're not going to be cushy in this life. And instead of being cushy, we're going to work until the Savior comes. We're going to work for the night is coming." My friend, there does remain a rest for the people of God. But right now, it's time for us Christians that we rise up and we work and we take our co-workers that we pass in the hallways and at the office cooler, at the water cooler, and the office complex or the plant or wherever ever, and we start inviting people to church once again. It's time that we, as in days of old, decide that the best way to get people in church is to ask them personally and privately and say, hey, would you come with me to that revival and sit with me? And after church, we'll go out and get something to eat. And you pay for it, by the way, you cheapskates. You're going to say, why don't you come and go with me to that revival? Or why don't you come on that Wednesday night? I've heard you wonder about the signs of the times. And why don't you come on that prophecy night? Or what better yet, why don't we do this or that? And we come up with a way. My friend, I want all of us to rise up out of our complacency. And me as the pastor and the staff and the Sunday school teachers and everyone else, may we rise up out of our complacency and say, for the goodness of heaven and the grace of God, it's time for us, for heaven's sake, to work, for the night is coming. I want to pour out my heart to you tonight because I believe that our time is short. I really believe, as I preached this morning, that Jesus is coming back. And I do not want us to be caught up in complacency and lackadaisical attitude. You say, if everybody lived like you just described, we wouldn't know what to do with everybody. Well, that'd be a great problem to have. We'll figure out something. My friend, I want you tonight to realize this world is not my home. And I'm afraid that your pastor has spent too much time getting comfortable in this world. We like all of the creature comforts, don't we? We like everything just to be so-so. I'm preaching to me. You can listen if you want. We like everything to be just the way we want it. We expect our house to be a certain way. We like our vehicles. We like our activities. We like our vacations. And again, as I preached this morning, I'm not against any of those. But let's make sure that as we engage in all those things and a lot more, I want you to go for a weekend to Gatlinburg with your sweetheart. Keep your marriage together. I want you to go on vacation so your kids remember the things that you got to do together. I want you to have a hobby. I want all of us to enjoy the great things of God. I don't drink it, but I want you to drink coffee. And you thought I was going to some other drink, but I'm not going that far. I want you to drink coffee in the morning and enjoy with your family, your sweetheart, your husband, whatever. I want you to do all those things. I want you to take some time off, and I want you to go do all that. And I want you to enjoy all the good things that God has given us. All I'm asking is that I want to bring us all back as a team together to say that there's a work to be done, that this world is not our home. We've got to serve the King. We've got to reach people for Christ because nobody else is doing it. You say, well, there's another church over there. Well, listen, there ain't too much competition. Competition for reaching people. And may we one more time before the big bell rings and the trumpet from heaven sounds, before it's all over and we're spending our time worshiping at the feet of Christ, may we one more time as a giant army rise up and say, what can I do? Don't come and just say, well, all right, I can do one little thing. Let's just say, God, what do you want for me? Some preacher put it like this. We talk a lot about what's God's will for my life. And he said we might better put it like this. How about I just give my life for God's will? Whatever that is. I realize that I'm a weirdo. I get the opportunity to do what I do full time. I don't work a real job like most of you all do. And I own that. I'm taking it. That's fine. But I want all of us to realize that we're all working for heaven's sake. And let's serve our Savior to the best of our ability. You understand there's folks in nursing homes right now that used to be at this church? They would love the opportunity to serve in a Sunday school class one more time. I could take you to the people that I've served with on the bus ministry right now. I'm thinking of one particularly right now. I could take you there in church right now. They'd love to be back up on their bus. But surgery after surgery after surgery has made that not possible. And here I sit with, here I stand with the ability, but maybe not the desire. My friend, I'm just trying to get all of us to realize that there's coming a rest. But let's not kick off early. Let's not kick our feet up and stop resting. Start resting early. We need a group of people who will wait until heaven to retire from God's work. You remember, we were at one of the services last year when Preacher Lasty preached over there, and he's older than I am by a good bit, and preached the gospel, and here a young fella came down and got born again. Folks, you don't retire from the Lord's work. And you may not be in full-time Christian service, maybe never were, you had a regular job. That doesn't matter. We're all serving the same Lord. We may do it just a little different here and there as far as where our money comes from, but we need a group of people who wait to heaven to retire. Years ago, a missionary couple was coming home. And they were coming home from Africa, and as they, years ago, and you'll know by what president was on that same steamship, that same ship was President Teddy Roosevelt. He was coming in off of one of his big African hunts. This missionary couple was coming back to the States, and they would see the president, and they would see press trying to get a picture, time with him, to catch him as he went from one corridor to the other on this big ship. And the missionary husband told the missionary wife, she said, "It's not seem right. Everyone's trying to see the president, and they want to catch a glimpse of him here and there, and nobody gives two hoots about us. All he's been doing is over there hunting some animals, and we've been hunting for souls for Jesus Christ." His wife said, "Oh, honey, you ought not think that way." And he said, "No, I don't think God's treating us fair." And he just boiled on that for a little while. They finally, after some days, that ship came into the harbor in New York, and the bands were playing, and the mayor of New York was there, and different all kinds of press were there, not to see the missionary couple, but to see the president. And this missionary couple went over on the east side and found a little flat of an apartment that they were going to try to manage their life in. He was going to go out and get a job that next week to make ends meet and keep them going. Well, he stayed in that stupor for a little while, for a day or two, and his wife could tell he was just in a bad way, and she said, "Honey, why don't you just go to the bedroom and just tell God about it? If you have a wife like that, you ought to be thankful." And that's what he did. He went to the bedroom and just stayed in there for a lengthy period of time. Finally, he came out, and his wife said, "Well," and she could tell that there was a noticeable difference on his whole face. She said, "Well?" He said, "Well, I told God about what I was thinking. And I told him that I didn't think it was fair that he allowed the president to get all that fanfare when he got home and we got nothing." She said, "Well, okay." And he says, "It seems like God," he didn't, "but it seems like he put his hand on my shoulder and said, 'Son, you're not home yet. The fanfare's not coming for you as a Christian. The accolades are not. You could come up with a breakthrough in some technology and people would give you more applause than if you worked one of the bus routes here at Buffalo Ridge. You could be a teacher at ETSU and get more notoriety than you do by teaching Sunday school at BRBC. And you may be thinking it's not fair when those folks come to the end of their life and they get all those accolades and people say, 'What a job well done.' But I remind you, like that missionary got told by God, 'Son, you're not home yet.'" And so this evening, I'm asking, number one, this question, my friend: have you entered into the rest of salvation? Are you born again? Now, you might think, well, you're talking about rest and then work. Don't mistake work for salvation and work because of salvation. Nobody works for salvation. Oh, there's lots of people who work for salvation, but nobody gets salvation by working for it. But there's a lot of people, and all of us should, that work because of what God did in our heart and saved us. So my friend, number one, remember that you need to enter into the rest of salvation. And then number two, and my conclusion is this: remember, there remaineth yet a rest to the people of God. Our rest is coming there. Perhaps you're weary tonight, and you think, well, I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. I'm asking us all to labor for the Master. If we don't, and we don't send the gospel around the world and here locally, they probably need to have a conference with Brother Dan and tell him to take a lot of our songs out. I sometimes wonder about families that standing there and little boys and little girls hear their mom and dad sing songs like "Send the Light, Send the Light, Send the Blessed Gospel Light." And as I wonder if they stand up and look at their mom and dad, "Dad, I've never seen you send the light. I've never seen you really do much of that." This evening, would you, number one, make sure you've entered into that rest of salvation. I believe there's a lot of good folks that they struggle with this. But when you get that settled and you can rest in Christ, listen, folks, remember and remind yourself, it's not what you can do. It's not where you've done it. It's not how you're behaving. It's not these things. We are trusting Christ. Lean back in that. And maybe you're one like I was for years and years and years that have trouble with doubts about your salvation. Oh, I challenge you to lean back into Him. Believe Him of who He says He is. And receive Him as Savior. And then if you've got that shored up, remember, I'm not trying to work you too hard. I'm not trying to burn us out, so to speak. But I want us to remember that our rest is coming in heaven. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Oh, Lord, I pray that the message has been received. And Lord, I wouldn't for one second want it to be received, or I wouldn't want it to be perceived as arrogance or that I have arrived, because, dear Lord, I have put myself right in the same boat as all of us. Lord, when you point at somebody with one finger, you've got more pointing back at you than you had at that person. Lord, would you let this church rise up? Would you let some of us that have decided to sit on the sidelines, would you let us suit up in our jerseys one more time and find something that we can do for souls that are hanging in the balance? Bless us, I pray, as they begin to play. If God spoke to your heart, I challenge you to do business with the Lord. I'm going to ask you if God would be pleased and would lead you to that, you come to the front here and find a spot around the altar, around these first couple pews, up around the steps over here somewhere. Just stand and pray. Pray for our church. Pray as we enter back into the bus ministry. Pray as we enter back into the Sunday school ministry. Pray as we ramp up all the things that go along with that. And pray for safety. Pray for God's power. Pray for laborers. Pray for workers. Pray for the conviction of the Lord. Would you stand together with us? And as you stand, if God would be pleased to lead you down here to the front, just come and you can sit on the pew, on the pulpit platform, kneel, sit on one of these front pews, just pray for our church. Folks, I have delivered my heart tonight. We need a revival one more time of Christians who would step out of their comfort zone and say, we've got to reach this old world. Would you pray? Pray, church. Pray that the Lord would use us again. Pray that He would be pleased to let us rise up and see His name glorified. As these are praying, can I speak to you just for a moment? If you're not sure you're saved, not sure you've entered into that rest of salvation, would you slip out and come? Do you lie awake at night worried about your destination? My friend, that's no rest, is it? Do you go to sleep only to toss and turn, worried about where you'll end up if you don't wake up here on this earth tomorrow? Friend, you're in turmoil, not in rest. Would you slip out and come and let somebody show you from the Bible how you can be sure heaven's your home? We're just going to take a couple more minutes. If you're here tonight, not saved, would you step out and come? There's Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. As they play through one more verse, could we all just lift up prayers to God to say, Lord, use us again. We're on the ledge right now. And ask the Lord to help us to launch out from here and see great and mighty things happen for His glory. Thank you for this time to be in your house this evening. Lord, thank you for the rest of salvation that every born-again believer has that access to that. Lord, we can just rely and rest in you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that rest. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, as we're resting in you and you've completed it, it's done when the words, it is finished, came from the cross, Lord, you finished it. Lord, we're resting in that. Now, dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember that we've got to get that message of rest and salvation out to a lost and dying world. Please, dear Lord, I pray, use us to be so. And we'll thank you for what you do. Thank you for the time that you've given us tonight. Bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way, and I trust that the Lord has burdened us to do what He would have us do. So just want to say a word of thank you to everybody who came tonight, and I want to thank Victoria. Thank you all, and your friends that came with you. Thank you for singing with us. Thank you for Forrest. Thank you for being with us, and make sure you get by and see Victoria before she heads back to Georgia, and I want you to pray for these young ladies as they drive back down, I think, tomorrow night or Tuesday, and the Lord be with them. And then after the service, immediately after the service, Sunday school teachers, workers, will meet in that room right there, the home builders class. And ushers are back there with our offering plates. And I hope that you do take me up on the offer. It's only $7.24. And stay around, fellowship with some, and just tell some folks it's good to see them in church, and maybe reconnect with some people you haven't seen for a while, and just have a good time of fellowship. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.
Still there.